It is May 31st, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. I have a correction from yesterday's story about my withdrawing my registration from the NFA. One of the companies I worked for, Gerald Metals, is still very much around, I am told by representatives of the company. My bad. My apologies for my mistake. The FCM that I worked for, that they owned, was sold and became Rand Financial, but the owner of the FCM is still around. We recently published an interview I did with Token of Eight's Richard Baker at the ISDA AGM in Chicago. It is a podcast interview you can listen to with the link in today's newsletter. Token of Eight came out with some big news today with the headline, Token of Eight and GMEX 013 enable execution of world's first smart legal contract for voluntary carbon credit derivatives trades using ISDA definitions. Baker said in the interview that Token of Eight's platform was ready to perform its first trade, which would be a voluntary carbon credit derivative. The FIA announced the application window is open for this year's FIA's Innovators Pavilion and Pitch Competition at FIA's Futures and Options Expo. The deadline for applying is coming up quickly. It is June 30th, so apply soon. If you think your startup has the stuff to be the, quote, innovator of the year, unquote, or you just want the exposure of showing off on the stage at the expo, then get signed up today at www.fia.org/FIA/innovators. NVIDIA's market capitalization yesterday hit $1 trillion, though it closed below that level. It became the seventh company to reach that level in the U.S., though only four currently have retained a valuation above $1 trillion. Those above that level are Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Alphabet. The others below are Meta Platforms, Tesla, and NVIDIA. The Wall Street Journal has the story about the subject. I asked ChatOpenAI.com what firms are likely to have a $1 trillion valuation next. It first noted that its knowledge-based cutoff was September 2021, so this information is data. Here are the firms it predicted. Tesla, Alibaba Group, Tencent Holdings, Facebook, and Amazon. It noted Amazon had already been above the $1 trillion level, so it should be able to do it again. It said Tesla and Facebook would achieve the $1 trillion level. Speaking of valuations, Twitter's value has dropped to 33% of what Elon Musk paid for it, according to a Bloomberg story citing Fidelity. Twitter is losing value, reputation, and users fast as it becomes the political play tool of Mr. Musk. His latest jolly was to elevate a parody account of New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has threatened to leave Twitter because of the parody account. The account is not properly marked as parody, which is one issue. The New York Times has an interactive visual story titled Fake Signals and American Insurance: How a Dark Fleet Moves Russian Oil. The story is about spoofing, but not the kind of spoofing we are used to in the markets. ICE is hosting a webinar to address how the EU is introducing a carbon border adjustment mechanism, CBAM, which will impose a tariff on goods whose production is carbon intensive and at the most significant risk of carbon leakage: iron, steel, cement, fertilizers, aluminum, and electricity. The webinar on Thursday, June 1st at 3 p.m. BST, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, will feature George von Waldberg, director of utility markets, ICE, and leading energy expert Michael Mehling, deputy director at the Center for Energy and Environmental Policy Research at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. New York Times columnist and economist Paul Krugman has a story titled How the Wind Became Woke that tells how Texas Republicans have turned on wind energy in which they lead the nation. ESPN has a story about a day in the life of Jets legend Broadway Joe Namath, octogenarian. From the story, I figured out what Broadway Joe and I have in common. Two knee replacements, two hip replacements, and one shoulder replacement. We also drive General Motors SUVs. The most read stories in the JLN Options newsletter yesterday were the contrarian predictive power of retail option trading and NYSE's Megan Dugan talks tech and options market growth at OIC 2023 and few are priced for upcrash. The S&P could reach 4,600 this year thanks to pessimism, says RBC. The Transatlantic Climate Bridge Conference 2023 runs virtually June 5th to 14th. This two-week convergence of representatives from nations, the private sector's civil society organizations, and youth change agents seeks to strengthen the climate and energy alliance between Germany, the United States, and Canada. Programming includes panel discussions, workshops, and live podcast recordings and roundtables. Register for sessions of the Transatlantic Climate Bridge Conference 2023 with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video, this one produced by Sally Duros. The headline, carbon market pioneer Corinne Boone of ACX provides a short history of the carbon market, part one. Sally Duros' first ESG-focused video interview for John Lothian News is a discussion with Corinne Boone, Group Head of Americas at Air Carbon Exchange, now known as ACX. We are publishing it in two parts. In this part one interview, Boone provides a short history of the carbon markets and why they work. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. William O'Neill, founder of Investors Business Daily, dies at age 90. Oklahoma-born entrepreneur promoted a data-rich formula for stock market investing. William J. O'Neill, who grew up poor in Oklahoma during the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s, made a huge profit on early 1960s investments in Chrysler's and Syntex, a pioneer in birth control pills. The proceeds launched him on a career of teaching other people how to make money on stocks by studying charts, ditching losers quickly, and suppressing emotions. My comment. One of the things that made O'Neill's Investor Business Daily popular from a futures market perspective was the work of trading course profiteer Ken Roberts, who instructed his students to sign up for a subscription to IBD and to call the exchanges for information about their products. This was a great lead source for brokers for many years, as the CME and CBOT shared these leads in those days, and the customers were informed about the price movement by getting their IBD subscriptions. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Diamond hints at life after J.P. Morgan, says he'd consider public office. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon said running for public office has crossed his mind amid speculation on his long-term future beyond helming the financial services giant. I love my country, and maybe one day I'll serve my country in one capacity or another, he said in a Bloomberg television interview when asked if he'd ever considered a public office position. His comments made at the bank's annual Global China Summit in Shanghai on Wednesday come as the U.S. gears up for its 2024 presidential race. My comment, reading between the lines, Mr. Diamond is willing to have a short term as U.S. Treasury Secretary in order to get the tax write-off that comes with the public service of having to dispose of shares of stock that would be a conflict of interest. It is also a request from the powers that be to intervene on his behalf in the ongoing Jeffrey Epstein case and offer him any help so that he might be able to offer public service in the future without the Epstein cloud hanging over him. Here's another story from Bloomberg. LIBOR scandals, Credit Suisse, and the value of transparency. Financial authorities need to be accountable for their actions. Did the Bank of England and other officials pressure banks to fiddle LIBOR during the 2008 crisis? Your answer might be, at this point, who cares? But the question of how financial authorities can and should act when banks are on the brink of failure remains as relevant as ever. Just ask Credit Suisse Group AG and the holders of its wiped-out junior bonds. My comment, sometimes you have to start a fire to put out a fire. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was How to Spot Trading Opportunities, a 1000X podcast with Don Wilson on YouTube. Second was AI poses risk of extinction on par with pandemics and nuclear war, tech executives warn, from the Wall Street Journal. Third was court system in Cook County is so bad, Terry Duffy, a Fox Business video, in its third time in the top three. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, Loan Market Braced for Rush to LIBOR Finish Line. At least $700 billion of junk loans are still priced using lending benchmark just 30 days before the rate is set to expire. About half of the $1.4 trillion U.S. junk market is still shackled to LIBOR just 30 days before the rate is set to expire, with meager deal-making activity curbing companies' ability to split from the lending benchmark and embrace its replacement. The slower-than-expected progress means that corporate borrowers and the institutions facilitating their switch to the new benchmark face a crunch point as they strive to push loans over the line before the cutoff to avoid automatically falling back on potentially less favorable borrowing terms. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Hedge funds are deploying ChatGPT to handle all the grunt work. Generative AI is writing and editing code and parsing research. Man Group Citadel are among firms experimenting with tech. The latest artificial intelligence hype is powering a massive surge in the stock market on bets that a new era of innovation is nigh. Yet for money managers who weaponize computing advances for an investing edge, the era of ChatGPT holds a less lofty promise for now, automating the grunt work. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg as well. The headline, Why bringing a $1.8 trillion stock market to the big leagues could backfire. Korea's ambition to become a developed market is spurring money managers to have second thoughts on whether such a move is a good idea or even worth it. For years, South Korea has been home to more global conglomerates than Hong Kong, boasted a higher purchasing power than Japan or Spain, registered a longer life expectancy than New Zealand, and 3 years ago even briefly overtook Italy in GDP per capita. Yet every year, indexing giant MSCI Inc. has categorized the country as an emerging market, a designation that has hurt Korea's investment potential and dampened stock valuations. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.